Yeah, let's ask for the Lord's help before we start. For God and our Father, we thank you for Lord Jesus. We thank you for his death at Calvary for us that makes it possible for us to be a fellowship one with another, with the Father and the Son. And we thank you for opportunity to be able to share, as many of us have been able to do. We just pray for your help for me tonight as we share some things I've enjoyed for some time. Pray that it might be edifying and we might build each of us up in our most holy faith. So we just thank you for the opportunity. We commit ourselves to you. And for those that are not able to be on, we pray for them too, wherever they're out at tonight. And commit ourselves to you in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, my subject tonight is the fear of the Lord. I've enjoyed that subject for some time and never really spoke on it. And so I thought maybe tonight that I would do so. So I'll just wait till Keith gets connected here. Hi, Keith. You there, Keith? He can't hear us. You there, Keith? He's frozen, I think.
Oh, I need to go.
I'll go ahead and go. Yeah. Okay, so the fear of the Lord is my subject tonight. And so, you know, when we think of fear, there's two aspects to fear. There's fear of being afraid, which is not my subject tonight. We have no fear because we belong to the Lord. So fear has been defined, at least my definition, is a reverential trust. God is holy and he is to be feared. He's to be revered. He's holy, and we have to treat him that way and honor him because he is holy. And sometimes we get careless and we don't act before him and recognize as to who he really is. Not only God, but his son, the Lord Jesus. And I'm not going to turn to a lot of verses outside of the book of Proverbs, which is where I really want to be tonight. But in Psalm 34 and verse 19, or verse 9 and 11 says, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want of them that fear him." That's a comforting thing, isn't it? By fearing the Lord, he's going to take care of us. In Psalm 19:9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." Another comforting thought, isn't it? Psalm 25:14 says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him." He lets us in on the secret, and we need to fear him, and we'll enter in into his secrets. And in Corinthians talks about how things are revealed to us by the Spirit. That's the secrets of the Lord. And I'd just like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31 for a few verses here. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 12, it says, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, the strangers of this in the gates, and that they may hear and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live." So we have a responsibility not only to fear the Lord ourselves, but to teach our children and our grandchildren to fear the Lord. And they'll have a happy life if they do that. So that was just a few introductory verses as in connection with the fear of the Lord, being honoring him, revering him, showing reverence to him, and that way. So with that in mind, I just want to go to the book of Proverbs, and there's 13 times in the book of Proverbs that we have this clear statement, the fear of the Lord is. And so I'd like to go through each one briefly and just to show by fearing the Lord, how much more we can enjoy our lives down here and honor the Lord at the same time. It's no loser. Everything is positive if we fear the Lord and honor him. So the first one is in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." It's the beginning of knowledge. Well, we know the scriptures speak a lot about knowledge. They speak about how knowledge it puffs up if it's the wrong kind of knowledge. If our hearts are set on the knowledge of this world, just trying to gain knowledge just for knowledge's sake. It's important to go to school to gain knowledge so that we can get a job and support our families. But I think here it's talking about the spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the Lord. And in verse, where is it up? Earlier in the chapter, it's verse 4, to give to the young man knowledge and discretion. Proverbs talks about a lot to young men. And not that it excludes us, because we're all here tonight and we're not young men except Daniel. But, you know, the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord applies to all of us. So in Proverbs 1:29, here we have, they hated knowledge. There are some people that hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And boy, that's to their own loss, isn't it? To hate knowledge when the Lord has said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? And then in chapter 2, right across the page, verse 3 starts, "Thou, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up the voice of understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as her hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." I don't know if you've noticed, but in the book of Proverbs and actually in the whole Bible, these three words, knowledge, wisdom and understanding, are often put together in a verse, and how important it is that that these three words are so important. You know, to have knowledge and then use wisdom with the knowledge you have, and then you'll gain understanding as a result of this. So how important that is, and the Bible is very clear about that. In Job chapter 21, I won't turn to these verses, but Job 21, 13 and 14, it says, "Those that spend their days in wealth and say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways." So here it's talking, this knowledge we're talking about is the knowledge of God, his ways, and learning about him more, learning to obey and trust in him. And use the knowledge that he has give us in the reading the word and studying the scriptures and applying it to our lives as we intersect with other people and intermingle with them. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So we need to grow. And if we don't grow, then if we just stay as children on milk instead of meat, then we're not going to gain in this knowledge that the Lord is talking about. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So right from the beginning of our lives, you know, this is important. So that's the first one. The second one is in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." So the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. And there's much spoken in scripture about evil. And this, I think, includes both moral and religious evil. These are both part of things in life that we come in contact with. And we need to be careful that morally and spiritually that we stay away from evil. There's a lot, it's amazing that there's a lot of evil in religion. And false doctrines and people in apostasy and stuff like that, that we need to be careful. If we turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." So I hope all of us recognize that. And when we see evil or come in contact with evil, we don't stand there and say, "Well, I'm strong enough. I can I can deal with it. No, we depart with it, depart from it, I mean. And then again, another verse in Job, we'll turn to it. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So here we see that other word of the three words that we talked about earlier, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. So we want understanding. So we need to depart from evil so we can use that knowledge that the Lord has given us and put it together with wisdom and be able to understand. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So we name the name, all of us here name the name of Christ. So we want to have nothing to do with evil. In Micah chapter 2, verse 10, it says, depart from evil or it will destroy you, even with a sore destruction. That's pretty serious. We can be destroyed with evil. And we know that's happened to so many people. They get involved with evil and it just destroys them mentally and physically. And they die young because they've gone into things that they don't really know better. Even some Christians that has happened to, and it's such a sad thing. So the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. And then kind of something goes right along with that. It's a third one here in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In other words, we hate it, and then we depart from it. And then it gives a list of some of the things that are evil. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward or disobedient mouth. So all these things are things that we have to deal with. And pride is, of course, a very difficult one because we all have it. And it's one of those things that Satan seems to be very able to cause that in most of us. Arrogancy, that's even worse, where we just get completely thinking of self, that to the point where we leave God out of it in the fear of the Lord. The evil way, whatever all that means, it's just, that's a lot. And the froward mouth. So hatred of evil, depart from it, hate it. Isaiah 5:20 says, those that call evil good and good evil. Well, we know a lot about that today, don't we? And probably the best example I thought of is like abortion. You know, the people say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. That they want their rights. They want to be able to do that. That's evil. And yet they say it's good. You know, it's good because the child is going to grow up to maybe have some abnormalities and be disabled. And so we need to get rid of that fetus right now. And that's evil because God considers that fetus a child, a baby. In fact, it was difficult for me to think about this, but in the paper just yesterday, I think it was the was somebody had said that a fetus is a baby. And I thought, wow. And I can't remember who it was now. It was either the vice president or Haley, the Republican candidate that's running against Trump. But anyway, that was good to hear in the paper and probably was on TV too. A fetus is a baby. So she recognized that that is evil. I'd like to turn to Amos and just read a couple of verses there that, along this line. Amos, Obadiah, Amos chapter 5, verse 13 says, it is an evil time, and we know that. Seek good and not evil that ye may live. Hate evil and love the good. So that's very clear in Scripture, isn't it? God has made it very clear to us that there shouldn't be any question in our mind that we're to hate evil and love the good. We'll be much happier, of course, if we do that. In Psalm 97:10, it says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth and delivereth us from the wicked. So we have someone that helps us to depart from evil and to hate evil and to allow us a way of escape. We have the Lord, and we need to depend on him and fear him so that we don't get involved in evil things. So the fourth one I'd like to look at is in Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and verses 9 and 10. Give instruction to the wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So we had the first one we talked about, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now we have the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we have a lot about wisdom in the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 15, just a few verses up, or chapters up, it says, in verse 33, it says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So it's instruction, teaching, and we need to be taught to be wise. And I'd mentioned earlier how I think the formula for those three words, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, in my mind, it's knowledge plus wisdom equals understanding. And I know other people may look at it differently, but I like the final thing to be spiritual understanding. In other words, because of the knowledge and then the wisdom God gives us to use that knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 9, just back across the page, in verse 1, there's an interesting verse that says, wisdom hath builded her house. She has hewed out her seven pillars. Seven pillars. And years ago, there was a verse in James. We turn to that. Hebrews, James. James chapter 3. Remember, seven pillars. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewed out her seven pillars. In James 3:17, there's seven pillars. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. That's number one. Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom that's from above. In Corinthians, we read a lot about the wisdom of man, how if that's the wisdom of man crucified the Lord Jesus, didn't they? But here's the wisdom of God, pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, all very positive and encouraging things that the wisdom does for us. In James, it talks about wisdom. It says, ask God for wisdom. He will give it to you abundantly. So God's on our side, and he helps us with these various things that come up in our life. That's where we have to make difficult decisions and wise decisions so that we have the proper understanding. So the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fifth one is in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, I notice in the Old Testament, there's a lot of verses that speak about how the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. We don't read it that much in the New Testament because I think it's, you know, our days are set, you know, if, 70 and maybe an extra 10 to get us up to 80. And that's kind of, basically kind of the life of man, the maximum. You know, some live longer, some live less, but 80 is a pretty high number for a man and a woman living. But in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were promised prolonged of days, extra years, if they feared the Lord. Proverbs 3, look, go back to Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And Proverbs 4, verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Proverbs 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. So, right here in Proverbs, we have a lot about prolonging days if we fear the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Fear the Lord thy God and keep his statutes and commandments, that thy days may be prolonged." That's Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2. And, you know, I mentioned that the prolonging of days is primarily for those in the Old Testament, and we're kind of limited in how many days we live. But I think it's true to say that a Christian, because of the way he normally lives, he escapes from evil and doesn't get involved with drugs or smoking or alcohol, he does tend to live longer. So in a sense, even in our dispensation, the prolonging of days for the Christian, I think, is apropos too. So that's important, the prolonging of days. The Lord gives us not only prolonging days, but he gives us a healthier life too, I believe, if we follow his commandments and stay away from those things that we know to be evil and dishonoring to him. So number 6 is in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." So the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In other words, confidence is not arrogancy. So there's sometimes people who are confident are accused of being arrogant. So there's a fine line there, I suppose, we need to be confident, because the Lord says that the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, but we're not to be arrogant. If we're confident, we're putting our trust in the person of the Lord and not in the person of ourself. If we put the trust in ourselves, then we're going to be arrogant, I believe. But if we put our trust in the Lord, he's going to give us confidence. That's at least the way I look at it. In Proverbs 3:26, just back a few chapters, it says, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." So it's the Lord that gives us confidence, not ourselves. So that's why we need to fear the Lord and lean on him, so that we have confidence and not arrogancy. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 6 and 14 talk about holding fast the confidence unto the end. I don't know exactly what that end would be, but at least talks about the future. And so hold on to the confidence, at least as long as we're in this world. Don't change and become arrogant, or don't change and lean more on self than the Lord. Have strong confidence in him. Number 7 is Proverbs 14:27. Proverbs 14, the very next verse after the one we just looked at. Proverbs 14:27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." Remember from back in school, we heard about this person, Ponce de Leon, who was looking for the fountain of youth. Well, we have to dwell on the fountain of life, which is eternal life, not just youth. It's life versus death. Depart from the snares of death, it says. Also Proverbs 13:14. Proverbs 13:14 says, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." The fountain of life. I'd like to just to turn to Psalms 36 and read two or three verses there. Psalms 36. starting with verse 7. "How excellent is thy loving thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. And with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." So with thee, Lord, is the fountain of life. He gives us not only an abundant life here, that he gives us eternal life, everlasting life. What more can we ask for? What a great God we have that promises all these things. But there is a qualification, isn't there? We need to fear him, fear the Lord. So the next one, number eight, is Proverbs 15:16. And that's contentment. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. It's interesting, it says trouble therewith, with great treasure. And we know that's true because people who are very wealthy, you know, they have to put up gates to protect their homes from burglars and others. You know, they live in fear. I think they're going to lose their money. They're afraid to invest their money with, because they're afraid that the person is going to steal it. There's just all kinds of problems with not being content. It's little versus much. Most lives are so complex that they're out of control. And many of those that have too much, they find that true. They have to depend on a lot of other people to protect their assets. And so there's always a fear. You wonder sometimes how they even can go to sleep at night. But the Bible is very clear about with contentment, there is great gain. And so and in Hebrews 13:5, it says, be content, for the Lord will never forsake us. He'll always provide for us, Lord, the Lord will. And even though things get down, we lose a job or something happens to our money, we make a bad investment. And it's so easy to make bad investments nowadays, scams, you know, on TV or on the radio. If you're not careful, you get caught in one of these. And many of us have had that happen. Be content, for the Lord will never forsake us. First Timothy says the love of money brings many sorrows. We know the love of money is the root of all evil, but it brings many sorrows. And we don't want that. We want to be content. So the next one we read about is satisfaction, which is a very similar word than contentment, but that's in Proverbs 19:23. Proverbs 19:23, it says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. So here's another way that we can escape evil, depart from it, or is to be satisfied with what the Lord gives, depend on him for it. In Psalms 109, verses 8 and 9, it says, the Lord satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. There's a hymn that I enjoyed along this line. It's number 57 in the Little Flock Hymn Book, a very common hymn that we know, on the Lamb, our souls are resting. There's satisfaction resting in him. What his love no tongue can tell, all our sins so great, so many in his blood are washed away. Sweetest rest and peace have filled us, sweeter praise than tongue can tell. God is satisfied with Jesus. We are satisfied as well. So that is a comforting thing, isn't it? We can be satisfied with the Lord Jesus because we know he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And God is satisfied with him. God said, this is my beloved son in whom I have well pleased, hear ye him. So that's number nine, satisfaction, contentment and satisfaction. Number 10 is Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So this verse is often misinterpreted by some. They say, wow. If I fear the Lord, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to have a lot of honor, and boy, I'm going to have a great life. Well, I don't think that's exactly what it means, because if we fear the Lord, we won't desire riches. We'll be content. We won't desire honor. We'll leave that with the Lord. If the Lord wants us to be honored down here, he'll do that. A lot of us have been honored for different things. And as it says, life. And spiritual riches, I think it talks about. He gives us richly all things to enjoy, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And that's the riches we want. Honor, honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. That's in Proverbs 29:23. Honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So if we're humble, the Lord will honor us. And then life, we're all familiar with that abundant life that it tells us about in John chapter 10, abundant life. And that comes with the fear of the Lord. What more can we ask for? Spiritual riches, honor that he gives us, and the abundant life that he promises here, and then, of course, everlasting life for all eternity. We have everything, don't we? Number 11, it's in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Envy is kind of the main word here that I picked up on. I think the fear of the Lord keeps us from envy and even jealousy. That's a real downfall of mankind, seeing somebody having more than we have or something that we don't have, something different. We want it if we're not careful. And we're not to envy sinners or others, it tells us the Bible. And it says it's in Proverbs 14:30. We can turn back to that verse. It's right here in Proverbs. Proverbs 14, verse 30. It says, envy is the rottenness of the bones. Boy, that's pretty serious. Envy is a terrible thing. Jealousy is a terrible thing. Proverbs 6:34 says, jealousy is the rage of a man. And rage means violent anger. Boy, it's hard to believe. It's just because you want something that somebody else has and you don't have it, you can get violently angry, according to the Bible. So we really have to keep these things in mind that and protect and pray that the Lord will keep us from envy and jealousy and to fear the Lord. Number 12 is in Proverbs 24:21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both. I've enjoyed that verse for a long time. We're to honor those in authority and not protest, riot, or overthrow the government, or try to be a part of those who would overthrow the government. It just always bothers me how many people, when in a riot, there's people that shouldn't even be there that get tangled up in that. Or even a protest, you know. I think as a Christian, this is my personal feeling, I don't press it on anybody. I think as a Christian, we're to stay away from protests. To stay away. Because it says here, fear the Lord and the king. You know, the king, we know about fearing the Lord, but it says the king too. We're to honor those in authority. And if they've done something and maybe it's not the right thing, but we're not to meddle with these things and go and fight for a change, you know, because we don't like what he is doing. But he says, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both. So we need to be very careful to challenge authority. We are to be subject, and tells us in Romans 13, we're to be subject to the higher powers. In fact, it might not hurt to turn to that because it's such important verses. I'll just read the first four verses of Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the highest powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that trust or that resist shall receive to them damnation. It's pretty serious. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So, and there's maybe exception to that. And the only exception I can see in scripture is we ought to obey God rather than man. And that's a pretty fine line again there. We have to be sure that we're when we're obeying God rather than even somebody in authority, that it, we're doing it according to Scripture, and not because we just think maybe they're doing the wrong thing. There's some things in Scripture, if they speak about our Savior and blaspheme Him, I think we need to say, please don't blaspheme my Savior and Lord. It wouldn't hurt. That may humble them to some degree, but other than that, I think we have to obey authorities. Life down here is short. We're going to be in eternity, and those people that have done wrong, they're going to have their day, and the Lord will not let them get away with it. They may get away with it today, but they will not get away with it forever. Okay, that's for the honor and authority. The last one I wanted to talk about is in Proverbs 30:31, about the virtuous woman in that chapter. And right at the end of that chapter, in verse 31:30, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And I think we could add a man in there too. It's talking about a woman in this chapter and all she does and for her family. And she's to be praised. And so I think the fear of the Lord is to receive praise from above and not from man. Do it for the Lord. You know, there's a verse that says, whatever we do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. That's in Colossians. Man looketh on the outward appearance. The Lord looketh on the heart. So look to the Lord for praise. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name. So God is the one that's going to reward us for doing that, showing, doing that which is toward his name. We do it for him, and he's the one who gives reward. He's the one who gives promotions. It tells us in the Bible too. And not man, but the Lord takes care of that. And so these are 13 things that I've noticed in the book of Proverbs, that from fearing the Lord, and it's a list that we all need to read over and over again from time to time. And just like to close with just two portions. First, in Proverbs chapter 1, go back to the very first chapter and see how it starts. Proverbs 1:24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. How serious. I hate to end on a negative note, but we need to be warned that what happens if we don't fear the Lord. And then just one other portion in 2 Kings. That it's a confusing portion, but I'm sure some of you have noticed it, maybe not all. 2 Kings chapter 17. It's very confusing, and I looked over this for a long time and tried to figure out what it means. Maybe in our discussion later, some of you can comment on it. 2 Kings 17:32. It says, the people there, feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places. You notice they feared the Lord, but they had the high places, which sacrificed for them in the hours in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods. There's quite a contrast. After the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day, they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandments which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear the other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and him shall ye do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandments which he wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore, and ye shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he will deliver you out of the hand of your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So this verse here is confusing. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. So here it seems to me as here's some people who wanted to be kind of ride the fence. They wanted to fear the Lord, but they wanted to do their own thing too. They wanted to have their own gods. They wanted to have worship in their high places. And we noticed that with a lot of the kings. It tells us of certain of the kings of Judah that they did right in the ways of the Lord. But then right after that says, but they didn't give up to worship in the high places. So they kind of had a mixture here. You know, they wanted to have both. And you can't have both. Yeah, you either need the fear of the Lord or serve Satan. And hopefully from all these verses we read that each of us here will say, I'm going to fear the Lord. As for me and my house. How's that verse read? I think we will serve the Lord. Not, but we're to fear the Lord. Anyway, those are my thoughts. And I'll pray and then we can have some discussion. God and Father, we thank you for your book, the Bible. We thank you for the book of Proverbs, which teaches us many things, whether we're young or whether we're old. And we need to read this book quite often to keep ourselves from evil and to fear you, Lord, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank you. We thank you for those that are on tonight. Pray for those that are not on. If any are not well, we pray for them and commit ourselves to you now as we give you thanks in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Daryl. It's good to be put the brethren in remembrance of these things. It's important for us to go over it again. I've often wondered why we had such statements as they feared the Lord and served their own gods. Mm-hmm. And I have wondered recently, there's very unclear definitions of terms. For example, to endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Just about every time I hear somebody quote that, it's thinking of unity of the group that they're with. But it goes well beyond that. It's the unity that the Spirit established at Pentecost. And that's the unity that we're intended to promote. So when the definition isn't clear, sometimes the final results is not clear. And I'm wondering if these people that you were referring to there in that served the Lord, feared the Lord and served their own gods, they really didn't understand what the fear of the Lord was.
It's, I think you're right.
Yeah. Now, I'm hearing different definitions of it, and there's value in all of them. But I've wondered a little more recently about this matter of the love of God and the love of Christ, and how there is a desired response to that love. Many places, I'm convinced, are very legal in their approach to things. You must do this, you must not do that. But they don't often tell you why. And I think that this is so very important, that the more we appreciate the love that brought Christ here to die for you and I, the more we'll want to respond to that love by keeping his word. If you love me, keep my word. And I'm thinking that that is not proclaimed that much in Christendom. It's more of the, what I call the legal approach of do this and don't do that. But if we had a real appreciation of what it cost the Father and what it cost the Son for Jesus to come here, to walk in this scene where there was sin and strife on every hand, and to be taken to that cross. He could have walked away. He knew that mob was coming for him, but he didn't. He didn't walk away. He let them take him. He let them abuse him. He let them nail him to that cross because he loved you and I. And with that in mind, the more I enter into that, the more I want to please him. And I can't help but think that if that were more prominent in ministry, that there would be more of a response to that love. Just a couple of thoughts I had. I'm sure others might have some comments as well.
Thank you, Don.
I had several scriptures that I thought of while you were talking, Daryl, and I had them in some kind of an order, but I'll just go in chronological order. Just, but anyway, because they stand by themselves anyway. When Abraham was going to offer up Isaac, you know, and just before he was going to put the knife to him, it says the angel of the Lord called out of heaven and says, "Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God." Mm. So it was, you know, it was that, you know, and again, as you mentioned, Daryl, from at the get-go, you know, that fear is a reverential fear. It's an acknowledgement of who God is, you know, and, so, you know, I thought of that. And then I thought of, in the same line, now, even though the word fear isn't used, but you had mentioned Proverbs 1:7, you know, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And Job, after the Lord questioned him and so on, he says, "I know you can do everything and that no thought can be withheld from thee." He says, "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that which I understood not. Things too wonderful for me." And he says, I beseech thee, I will speak, now demand of thee and declare to me. I have heard thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know, when he, it was that knowledge, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there's another one in Proverbs. You're talking about departing from wickedness. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, I have this highlighted in my Bible, where it says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." Mm-hmm. You know, so there's that departing from evil and so on. You know, Solomon, the conclusion of everything he had mentioned in Ecclesiastes, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And then in Isaiah 66, and I'm just going to go just pick out just a couple of verses. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." And he goes on to talk about the hypocrisy, and he says, "He that kills an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb is as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation is as if he offered swine's blood," and so on and so forth. But then he goes on, he says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word." Again, there's that fear. And in Jeremiah 5, you know, he's talking about the judgment of the Israelites. He says, "Hear, hear this, O foolish people, without understanding, again, for the fear of the Lord is, you know, beginning of knowledge, who have eyes and see not, who have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, who have placed the sand for the bound of the sea, and by perpetual degree that cannot pass it, and though its waves toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail against it? He says, neither shall ye say in your heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who giveth rain both to the former and the latter in its season, and reserveth us unto the appointed weeks of the harvest. So again, there's that, you know, that fear of the that fear of the Lord. And then in Malachi, it's just which I think is so great, is when the Lord was, you know, questioning, you know, Israel, then he says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's my honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear, saith the Lord of hosts? You know, and then they, you know, and then the question, well, you know, who, me? You know, they pretty much said. So those are some of the scriptures that came to mind that, you know, when you were talking and things about the fear of the Lord. It's a reverential fear, I mean, acknowledging of just who God is, you know, and that's why I always, you know, I know I've repeated this so many times. It's so important to do a study on the attributes of God, to just know who he is, because on how you see God is how you will live your life.
Right.
You know, so.
Good things.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my wife and I, Jan and I, we've been reading in 2 Kings, and last night we read that section.
Oh.
And it seems that they were just doing minimum requirement somehow, their fear of the Lord, and that, you know, the problem was when they were transported, these heathen, into the land of Israel, the northern kingdom, and Israel was removed from the land. Wild beasts were causing a lot of trouble. And they understood somehow they didn't know the manner of the God of the land. So they complained to the king about that, and he wisely sent one priest from Israel back into the land to teach them the manner of the God of the land.
Yeah.
And good. We'll do whatever it takes to not be troubled by these wild beasts. But as long as we can get away with serving our old gods, we'll do that too. It's kind of a minimum requirement sort of a thing, just to get the monkey off their back.
I think that's good, Kate. Hillman, you have any thoughts for us?
Well, I'll just give you an example of that 2 Kings. Remember, there was a man who'd been a missionary to China. And when he preached the name of the Lord Jesus, they said, you know, boy, he's one of the gods too. And they were a little bit afraid and stuff. Okay, we'll take him too. And that was their answer.
Yeah.
And you know, and actually, when you look at the context of that 2 Kings, and it talks about the different people and now who they made and what this group made and what this group made, you know, they weren't taking any chances. You know, okay, we'll take him too. They didn't know the Lord. Sorry. That's my comment on that. The verse that I thought of when you were talking about discernment and knowledge and stuff, you know, that you get from the fear of the Lord. And I'll tell you, I'm going to buck up against the, you know, that word Yahweh you fear. And if there's not a fear, I don't think you're quite getting it. I mean, a real fear. You know, which one of us has perfect love that casts out fear? I sure don't. You know, Moses, we see that the people were scared to death when they heard the voice of God. And actually, when you study Jewish literature, they could actually see his words. And they said, we can't take this. You go, you listen to him. And then we find out in the New Testament, Moses was shaken and trembling too. They were afraid. You know, I once asked my parents one time, I said, the thing that's bugging me is I don't feel like I really know him. And I asked my parents, I said, do you feel like you know the Lord like better than you know me? And they said, no. They said, and you know, that still bothers me. But you know, when I guess I understand it this way. When I grew up, I respected my dad, but I'll tell you what, I feared him. And that kept me in line. And you know, and you read from Deuteronomy, and there's verses in there too, and the Lord would say, well, boy, if they would just fear me. And you understand from the context, it's not just a reverential fear. I mean, there's both. There really is both. And you look at that Hebrew word, you know, if Moses knew him and Moses was afraid and still we know because now we know more than, well, we don't know more than Moses does now, but more than he knew then about Christ. And we know the love of God, which passes understanding. And that has made a huge difference. Now, in light of all that, this is the verse that came to mind. It was from Daniel, because you talked about all these things. Daniel, they were going to kill all the wise men. He told Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, pray, man, pray. We need this or we're going to die. And then verse 19. Daniel 2:19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. And you talked about the secret things, you know, and you read about that in Deuteronomy 29, right?
Right.
Secret things are God's. Yeah. All right. And in a night vision, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And he said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that no understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has known, made known unto me now what we desired of you. For you have now made known unto us the king's matter. I just think that that whole portion hits so many of the things that you covered. You know, they only come from God.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, and what he is, you know, the secret things are God, but what he has revealed to us belong to us and our children forever. So that's my comment.
But you're not saying that today we fear the Lord like Moses did.
Well, I remember talking to a godly woman. And, you know, she said, she goes, Tillman, I'm afraid to sin because of how the Lord might affect my prayers, because doesn't it say that in the scriptures too? I mean, it was a godly fear, yes. But boy, do I fear the Lord and judgment coming? No, because I know Christ took that, right?
Right.
Therefore, there is no condemnation, right, for us, right? Is that Romans 8:1, right? And you know, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I mean, so I'm not fearing that. But I'll tell you, we better be afraid if we're sinning. I mean that. And you even talked about that. You even said, well, some of this kind of goes on within Christians today. It sure does.
Yeah.
You know, and we know of Christians that the Lord killed them. I mean, I'm sorry, that he did.
But just more often, doesn't he say, be not afraid, fear not? I mean, over and over again in the scriptures. In other words, if you sin, we have an advocate. So I think, wow, you know, I sin. I'm not afraid. I mean, I know I was wrong for sinning, but I'm not afraid because I have an advocate that causes me to intercede on my behalf.
Agreed. And, you know, even Beth and I were talking today, you know, about, I think something that is not preached enough is repentance.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not sorry, if you don't really know the evilness of sin, and we actually hit on that, right, Don, before we even started, you know, and what sin has done to the world, you know, and if we don't realize that, you know, something's wrong.
I agree. Repentance through God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance. Yes. Necessary.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dylan. Daniel, anything? Don't want to force anybody to make comments if you don't have any, but.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of struck with the quote you had in Proverbs 14:26, the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. Mm-hmm. And then going back to chapter 3, verse 26, the Lord shall be thy confidence. Just reminded me of one time when Dave Welsher was witnessing to someone in the neighborhood, his first point that he made is, we know where we're going. It's not we're going to hope. We know this confidence is ours, you know, and yeah, that's something I think a lot of other religions really don't offer. We have this confidence, you know, and then how the Old Testament ends where it says that they that feared the Lord, they spake often one to another. Mm-hmm. The Book of Remembrance was written for them that feared the Lord. Well, that. You know that. Yeah, I don't know. I see a link there that they feared so much that they wanted to be in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
There was confidence. I mean, there was fear and there was confidence. It went hand in hand, and it brought joy and peace and just blessing from that fear and that confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you were speaking, it reminded me of. About I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Yeah.
We know that. And of course, in 1 John, we know.
right. Yeah.
And you read some stuff from Job, right? I mean, and Job says, even though he slay me, I'll trust him.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, I mean, and I know I can say that too, because I'm sure not above getting off. And I know that even if he kills me, well, I know whom I believe, just like you've just quoted, right? And Christ did that, and he's going to do exactly what needs to be done, and I can trust him no matter what. So.
Because we'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Well, David, we're talking about the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
I think we covered everybody, didn't we, Don? If you have any more thoughts.
No, thank you. I appreciate the comments and all. And, you know, there's really a lot to the fear of the Lord when you think of those 13 things that you brought before us, there's a lot involved in that. And, you know, I know people in the military, they had a pretty rough training instructor, a TI. But when it was all over, they were willing to die for that man because they loved him.
Hmm.
And I think there's something to that as well. They feared him in a sense, and yet they loved him in a sense. It was a different relationship that we might find in most situations, but they came to realize that what he was doing was for their good, for their preservation on the battlefield and this type of thing. So the fear of the Lord, it takes in a lot of, there's a lot of facets to the fear of the Lord. Appreciate everyone coming along. Thank you.
Well, you know what?
Joe, you had something?
Go ahead, Don.
No, I just was going to say next week it'll be, if you're zooming in, it'll be at the Palms. So go ahead, Joe.
And I just want to make a comment on, you know, Tony, you were mentioned about, you know, there's another side of that fear other than, you know, the reverential fear. You know, in that, in the context of that verse in Jeremiah where he says, fear ye not me, you know, verses before that, he says, how shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children hath forsaken me and has sworn that by them there are no gods when I fed them to the full and so on. He says, shall I not punish thee for these things, saith the Lord? Shall my soul not be avenged on such a nation as this? And then you get to the New Testament. Remember, he talks about the Lord's Supper and about eating and drinking unworthily. And he says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And then you get to Hebrews where it says, wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace by which we may serve the Lord acceptably by reverence and godly fear. So there is that other side to that, you know, because of God, who God is, of, you know, and, you know, not to despise the chastening of the Lord or the judgment of the Lord. He, you know, it's not all just, you know, hey, I'm scot-free, as it were, you know. So, but yeah.
There's a verse in Revelation 15. It says, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name?
Oh. Well, Daryl, I know you already prayed, but maybe one more prayer before we bring it to a close.
Sure. Would somebody else like to do that? I'd be happy to listen.
I'll volunteer.
Thanks, Tim.
And thanks a lot, Daryl, for all the verses. It's always, I know I give you a hard time about that, but it's just glorious because we just, you get filled.
So anyway, I try to stay a lot into Proverbs, you notice? Yeah. You get carpal tunnel.
Okay, let's pray.
Thank you.
Our Father, we're really grateful for your word. We know even this week you've revealed many things to us, and we're just really grateful for that. And we just thank you for Daryl bringing before us this aspect of the fear of the Lord and how many different ways that there are that give us knowledge and wisdom and understanding and life, eternal life, and so many other things that Daryl kept saying, man, we've got it all. And we know that we do, Father. We thank you for that because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that, I know for me, every time somebody came into God's presence, they fell on their face and then you had to lift them up and say, don't be afraid. That's how I feel. And I know that that has to be that way because you're so far above us. And we thank you though that you have provided this love that was shown when that all our sin was paid for, which is incomprehensible. So we're really grateful and thankful, so that, your word gives us this wisdom and this understanding and this confidence. It's your word. Thank you for it. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.